To really understand what homelessness can do to young people, spend a minute listening to Phil Burdick, a teacher at Pacific High School.
One of the first things you're ever taught in education is about Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Maslow's hierarchy of needs is a list, basically, of the things people need to survive. But here's what you need to know. It's usually represented by a pyramid with physical needs, things like food and water, at the bottom. And right above that, safety needs, shelter, physical security, health. Way up at the top are the things you need to use in school, creativity, problem solving, acceptance of facts. And just like a real pyramid, the bottom is the foundation for the top. Take it away, and things fall apart. In other words,
if a student doesn't have a safe place to live and doesn't have food to eat and doesn't feel cared for, then they can't learn. You just can't.
And Burdick says if you can't learn, you get further behind, and then your options in life are limited. So Pacific High School tries to interrupt that cycle. Every Friday, it teaches life skills such as consumer math and job skills and building healthy relationships. And they offer food. Well, most schools do, but Burdick says at Pacific, it's a little different.
We serve breakfast. There's food available all day. There's hot tea. We have a lunch program where the students cook lunch. So they learn nutrition. They learn how to take care of themselves. Most of our students, if not, I'd say 75 to 80% of our students stay for lunch and eat with us so we have a sense of community. They feel safe.
Of the 39 students at Pacific High, Burdick says probably 10 to 15 experience some form of homelessness, usually in the form of what's called couch surfing, living with friends as long as they can stand you and then moving on to another friend's house. There's another program in town trying to make sure teenagers don't have to couch surf.
Hello.
How you doing?
When you walk into Sharon Stitz's office, you're greeted by a big, comfortable couch, an old easy chair, and a cushioned rocker. Stitz runs the Transitional Living Program for Youth Advocates of Sitka. They take young adults from age 16 to 21 who are in unstable housing situations and place them with host families. Some teens are referred to the program through schools or even from their own families, and some just show up at Stitz's office, which is inside a brown building on Lake Street, right across from the fire hall. Stitz says she enjoys what she does and that the day she gets out of bed dreading coming to work is the day that it's time to get another job. She's seen kids go on to get vocational certificates or to find work. A few are planning to attend college.
And they're seeing how healthy families live. So many of these kids come from unhealthy or dysfunctional families. And it's the first time they're in a family that doesn't, you know, fight all the time and actually has dinner together and does fun family things together. And it's just really neat to see these kids blossoming.
Right now, 16 youths are placed in 10 different homes. There are 15 host families signed up in the program, which is funded through a federal grant. The grant expires in about 3 years. Stitz and YAS Executive Director Annette Becker say they're trying to figure out how to fund the program once money runs out. Maybe another federal grant. Maybe something else. In a perfect world, their program wouldn't be necessary at all.
In a perfect world, you'd have perfect parents, and that doesn't happen. A lot of parents are struggling, too, and there's a lot of substance abuse in families, domestic violence, and a lot of our youth are exposed to that. In a perfect world, that wouldn't happen, but that's not reality.
The reality is that families find themselves without shelter for any number of reasons. One of them is domestic violence, and when that's the reason, the women and children in the family often find their way to a big blue house on a hill near downtown Sitka. This is the home of SAFE, S-A-F-V. It stands for Sitkins Against Family Violence. 8 women and 8 children are in the house on this Monday afternoon in late October. Some are watching TV, and others are preparing a meal in the kitchen as lead advocate Sherry Feinstein shows me around.
We want people to treat this like a home. It's their home. They take care of cleaning. We buy staple groceries, but folks are, of course, can buy their own stuff. So they're welcome to use the kitchen whenever. And then we have a fully stocked fridge and freezer that everybody is welcome to.
Many of the women who come here are escaping a domestic abuse situation, but not all of them, says acting director Vicky D'Amico.
We believe that even if they present with simply a housing issue and not immediate safety, that they are at risk simply by living in their car or being homeless. And we want to prevent them from any kind of unsafe situation living out on the street or living out in the woods or at Indian River or wherever they camp.
Men can't stay here, but when they show up, they're offered assistance. Maybe it's a referral to another service, or maybe it's a food handout or some tarps so they can go somewhere and set up camp. SAFE has 25 beds. D'Amico says they also have a waiting list.
It sure would be nice to have enough room or the facility to let everyone who needs to come here.
You kind of have to triage things.
We absolutely do.
For needs of a less urgent nature, low-income housing programs try to provide shelter for families who need it. The Baranof Island Housing Authority, or BIHA, runs 146 housing units, and the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation has vouchers that some landlords accept. It also runs 24 apartments for families. Between a third and a half of those residents come from homeless situations, and 60 people are on the waiting list for those apartments. But Brian Massey of Alaska Housing says the rules can complicate things. The federal government has specific definitions for what exactly homeless means. Those couch-surfing teenagers we mentioned earlier, the federal government says they're not homeless.
And lots of times I have folks come into my office and, you know, they've been staying on somebody's couch or they're with their aunt and their uncle. I have to tell them that they're not homeless, and it's a terrible thing.
Tomorrow, a look at more resources for those without permanent shelter, and we'll tell you about a group of people hoping to find better solutions. This is Ed Ronco reporting in Sitka.